This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Drew Tranquil, a linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Drew played college football at Notre Dame from 2014 to 2018 and helped lead the Fighting Irish to a 12-0 regular season in 2018. That year, he was awarded the Werfel Trophy for his exemplary community service. Drew was drafted by the Los Angeles Chargers and finished his four-year stint there with a career year in 2022, tallying 144 tackles, which was 12th in the NFL before signing with the Chiefs this offseason. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Drew. Well, hey, Drew, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Brandon. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on. There's a lot that we want to get to, so let's go ahead and just jump right in. You were a two-year captain at Notre Dame and started all but one game your last three seasons there. What's one of your favorite memories while playing there?
Well, I have a lot. Notre Dame will always hold a special place in my heart, and had an incredible 5 years there. We had a really down season. You mentioned those last 3 years. We were in 2016 really, really bad, historically bad for Notre Dame. We were 4-8. And we had some change that offseason, brought in a new strength coach, brought in some new coaches. But really, the personnel didn't change at all in terms of the players we had. Obviously, you onboard some freshmen. But that next season, we went 10-3, really had a chance there, kind of blew two games late in the season. But then going into my fifth year, just a complete turnaround, we went 12-0 and made it to college football playoffs. And so I think the experience, that complete turnaround, was probably the crown for me in my experience there, because we were so bad, and to see kind of the work we put in those last 2 years to get to college football playoffs was really spectacular.
You mentioned that year, that 2018 year where you guys went 12-0. You had wins over four top 25 teams, I believe. And then, like you said, you played in the semifinal against Clemson. What was it like playing on such a big stage in that college football playoff?
Was incredible. I remember running out of the tunnel to AT&T Stadium, and I've since had the opportunity to play in a lot of NFL stadiums, but that one is spectacular. And so to run out there as a college student athlete, it was amazing. Clemson obviously had Trevor Lawrence, this freshman phenom, and we were just trying to make our way. We were a hodgepodge of guys who had just gone 4-8 2 years before, and I felt like we really had an incredible team. We didn't necessarily have superstars across the board, but we had a great team. And so to have the chance to go against them, they go on to obviously beat us and then beat Alabama to win it all. But man, they were such a good team, and it was a cool environment. I wish we would have been able to pull it off, but they got the best of them.
Now, your time at Notre Dame wasn't without adversity. Can you share the story of you and your brother Justin each tearing both of your ACLs within a 16-month period, and how your faith helped you through it?
Yeah. So ironically, we've had seven ACL tears. So I'm the oldest of five siblings. I have three other brothers, and I've torn both of my ACLs. My brother Justin, like you mentioned, he's torn two on his left and then one on his right. And my brother Jack has also torn one ACL twice.
Wow.
So Justin tore his ACL first, his senior year of high school, turns around and tears it again. And my freshman year at Notre Dame, I'm kind of a special teams player, kind of a long shot to start. They told me I'd be a developmental guy. And towards the end of the year, I had worked my way into a starting position and end up starting the last three games of the season. Well, in that third game, I end up tearing my ACL, actually making a tackle on Lamar Jackson, who was then playing for Louisville at the time. And that was in the second quarter, and it kind of felt like I had hyperextended my knee. Wasn't quite sure what happened. Checked it out. They checked it out. They said, I think you hyperextended it. We'll take a look. So I ended up playing the rest of the game, actually. Felt super unstable and weird. Ended up getting the MRI, and they tell me my ACL is torn. And to that point in my athletic career, I'd never really faced anything like a season-ending injury, like something surgery-related. And so for me, it was scary. I was never a fan of doctors or blood or any of that growing up. And so it triggered a lot of anxiety inside of me. And I think to have my brother going through the same thing that I was at the same time was huge. Fast forward 8 months, I have a really good recovery, and I'm playing really good football, probably having the best game of my career at Notre Dame, make a great play down in the end zone right before halftime and go to jump and celebrate with my teammate Joe Schmidt, and came down and tore my other ACL. And that was only a short 8 months after I had just gone and torn my left. And so for me, that was, Brandon, to be honest, that was one of the darker seasons in my life. It was frustrating. It was confusing. It was like, Lord, I honored you in this first recovery, and now it just doesn't feel like that was seen. And it was back to square one. I tell people all the time, there's a period after something traumatic happens where you're kind of, I don't want to call it sulking, but it's kind of this inward focus. Why me? And it took a little bit longer to get through that period. It took me a little bit longer to get on my feet that time. But the Lord is faithful, and he was faithful through that. And so here I am 5 years into the NFL, the unlikely candidate, and he just continues to provide and continues to be faithful.
I saw, I don't know if it was an ESPN story, but that you had, you took a picture kind of flexing, and on your biceps was written, I will be back. And Justin, who was dealing with the injury as well, also took a picture with, I will be back faster on his biceps. You kind of touched on this a little bit, but as devastating as these injuries can be, was the fact that both of you went through it together and even apparently had some brotherly competition with it, was that kind of a silver lining? Like, did that help you guys in your recovery?
For sure. I think it's like anything in life. When you don't go through it alone, it makes it easier. You know, by yourself, you can go faster, they say, but together you'll go farther. And I think that aspect of community, right, of going through it with somebody, helped me get through that, helped my mental. We had some fun competition. You mentioned the picture, but it helped. It helps having brothers and sisters to walk through hard seasons with.
You were awarded the Werfel Trophy in 2018, which is presented to the FBS player who best combines exemplary community service with leadership and achievement on and off the field. How special was that for you to receive that honor?
Well, it was really special. I think they felt bad. I think I was up for it 3 years in a row and didn't get it. So the third time around, they're like, we got to give it to this guy. but Danny, you talk about Danny Werfel, who the award is after. And I mean, this man, incredible career at the University of Florida, and the stuff he was able to do on and off the field is absolutely spectacular. And he continues to do that to this day. And so to be recognized by him and the board there and all the guys who had won it before me, it was such a cool trip down in Destin, Florida to go receive that award and kind of be welcomed into that brotherhood. And yeah, really thankful for those guys.
One example of your community service is an event that you started called Fifth Quarter while you were at Notre Dame, which helped support a program where college students mentored underprivileged children in the South Bend area. You've also recently been involved with Foster the City, which works with foster families. Why is it important for you to be involved in the community like that?
I mean, I think sports is an incredible platform that people are interested in. And when you can use that platform to benefit others, it kind of takes the focus off yourself. Sports is so self-centered and self-focused at times. You're always focused on your training, your performance. And it can be a dangerous slope for athletes to get consumed in. And so I think when you kind of shed that performance identity, shed that self-centeredness, and turn that opportunity, because sports is an incredible opportunity. People are watching, people are engaged, people want to be involved. And so when you take that focus off yourself and you're able to turn that energy into other focus, it's a cool opportunity to, in that case, raise money for kids in the South Bend area. And really the event was just a cool opportunity to share my testimony and share my faith and share my love for the Lord and how the Lord has sustained me through, you know, two traumatic injuries there at Notre Dame and continued to provide for me mentally, physically, and spiritually in that time. And so it was cool to see people gather and come together and be able to raise a little bit of money to go toward Dream Teams, which was the initiative we were using to put groups of student athletes into local schools there to mentor and to be a light for those kids in that community. And so it was super cool. And then you mentioned the Foster the City. Just another way, you know, my high school sweetheart and I, Jackie, my now wife, we're really passionate about family. And there's a lot of kids, particularly in Orange County and in California, who don't have that, who are in the foster care system waiting for a family, who have traumatic childhood experiences and need a family and need to be loved and cherished. And so Foster the City is just one of the organizations, one of the many who are working to equip families, partnering with churches to raise up families. There's a huge deficit of kids who need a home and families who are willing to take kids in. And so Foster the City is working to shrink that gap. And so we were able to do a cool initiative this past year through My Calls, My Cleats, which is an initiative the NFL does and every player has the opportunity to participate in. And so you get a little design on your cleats. We created a little link, and it was amazing to see what God did. We started with a $25,000 match campaign. And before we ever matched a single dollar, there was over $58,000 raised for families to be equipped. And so it's cool to see what God can do with a little bit of thought and effort and a little bit of movement in your heart. And he just totally took it and ran with it. And it's an incredible testimony. We were just sitting there mind blown that, like, it didn't take a ton of work on our end, but it was something that is kingdom focused, that God has a heart for. He has a heart for children. He has a heart for children without a home. That's the whole spiritual metaphor, right? We're all Father. We all need the Father. And so I think he has a heart for that. And to see him move in that was really cool.
Yeah, that's incredible. You've been in the NFL for 4 years now, starting out with the Chargers, now recently having signed with the Chiefs. What are some ways that you've tried to stay grounded in your faith throughout your NFL career?
Mm-hmm. I'd say that the top is probably my wife. My relationship with my wife, she keeps me grounded, keeps me focused, keeps me in check. In the NFL and sports in general, there can be just the ego can try and get too big at times. And for her to be able to be there, to know me better than anybody on this planet, and be able to keep me in check, that's been a huge way. One of our biggest prayers coming out to California was that the Lord would just provide community. And to see him answer that prayer, maybe not in our timing, like it took time, but we found a local church here in Southern California and got planted in. And I've since been in men's groups and small groups. And so I think the way to stay grounded has been to continue to be around a community of believers. And then obviously, you know, staying in God's word and putting scripture to memory and scripture to heart and being steadfast in prayer. But I'd say having people to do it with has been probably the biggest way I've stayed grounded.
With this upcoming year being your first in Kansas City, I'm curious, what are you most looking forward to while being there? They're well known for their barbecue. So is it that, or is it getting to play on the same team with Patrick Mahomes?
Well, it's great to play on a team with him. He's no doubt the best player in the NFL right now. He's an incredible teammate. And I've been fortunate to get to know that over the past couple months. But I'm by far looking most forward to playing the Chargers. I forget the first time we play them in Arrowhead, but I know we go to SoFi Week 18. And I'm so looking forward to it. It's going to be a sweet, sweet homecoming. The barbecue is great, but I'm both looking forward to that by far.
That's awesome. We'll have that marked on our calendars as well and look forward to that game. Well, that's all the time we have, but thank you, Drew, for joining us on King Chasing today.
Brandon, it's been so much fun. We'll have to do it again sometime. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks again to Drew for sharing about his time at Notre Dame, why serving the community is important, and how he's stayed grounded in his faith through his NFL career. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.